Well, good morning. It is the second day, June. It's hard to believe, but we have got a little bit of a shortened show. I've got some political guests on today, but anyway, had a weird story yesterday with the shooting it's funny. You got this guy that goes and shoots somebody at UCLA, and the top story is on Trump and his personal racially tinged attacks on a federal judge alarm legal experts. And yet it's funny that the judge in this particular case is a member of La Raza, and you know, Trump is hated, absolutely hated by some of these, obviously Mexico has a real problem with Trump because they don't want the wall, number one. Can you imagine that? We're kind of deferring to people who want to continue to take advantage of us. It's like, you know, the school bully getting concerned that the kids that he's been, picking on are thinking of going to get help. It is kind of sad, but anyway, it's, in my opinion, I'm glad that he stood up for himself. I don't know all the details. I just know with the crazy stuff going on with Mexico, with all of these people being brought, can you imagine our country allowing tens of millions of people from Canada and other parts of Northern America to come through our country so that they can illegally enter Mexico? And then when we get criticized for it, we call Mexico racist and selfish. I mean, it's just, this thing is surreal. And Obama has had a big part in this. Obama is the one who gets over and criticizes America and joins in with the president of Mexico insulting us. And he's the one. Obama is going to go down. If somebody is an honest historian, Obama is going to go down as a real tyrant, because then he attacks the countries along the border, especially Arizona and Texas, conservative states. If you can imagine that, it is like a no-go zone, 70 miles from the border and down in Arizona. And what is the president doing about it? The sheriff of Pinal has to warn people that there's assassins out in the desert. What does the president do? President doesn't care. The president acts like morality begins and ends with his opinion. Isn't that remarkable? All right. So here's the UCLA professor, who was killed by a student who was upset about his grades, and that murder-suicide.
Ralph Carrazas by UCLA management. This is what has occurred. At about 10 this morning, a homicide and a suicide occurred in the engineering part of the UCLA campus on the south side. It appears it is entirely contained. We believe there are no suspects outstanding, and no continuing threat to UCLA's campus. We're in the process of releasing students from lockdown, but we need to do so in an orderly fashion and in a way that allows us to make sure there are no other participants. At that point, this investigation will be handed over to Robbery Homicide Division of Los Angeles Police Department. The coroner will take custody of the bodies, and this will become a homicide investigation. I can't hear you, Art.
Suicide now?
The method of suicide is gunshot wound. I won't go in any further. It is early in the investigation. Many questions are unanswered at this point. But I think the important thing for people to take away from this is that the campus is now safe. The issue that has occurred has been contained. We are in the process of releasing the campus back to the students. They are in their finals. This is a very stressful time for them, and we are trying to alleviate that. We do not believe there are There is no evidence to support outstanding suspects at this point, but we are, out of an abundance of caution, going to continue our search of several of the buildings.
Okay, so the professor, I think it was a engineering department issue, but a guy didn't like his grade, so he decided to kill the professor and himself. Boy, that solves a problem. So do we need to get rid of all our guns? I mean, I don't know. But I, you know, getting rid of guns is not going to help people who want to, you know, murder predates guns, but we're, in my opinion, from my investigation, from my, I know people are not calling for banning guns right now that I can hear, but the, fact of the matter is that countries with guns are safer than countries without guns. Like, and I, you know what? I did a little bit of a study on what happened with, you know, because they talk about Nazi Germany. They took away the guns from the Jews, and then they were put into concentration camps and everything. And I think that if you look at the history of Germany. I think that Hitler was in favor of expanding gun rights so that his own people could get guns, but that they did clamp down on any rights to the Jews, including the right to own guns. So, I mean, they were, you know, the Jews' goose would have been cooked whether they had gun rights or not, because the government was going to just get rid of them. The number one policy of Nazism, whether this is makes any sense whatsoever or not, was getting rid of Jews. Why that was the number one policy, I don't know, but I do think that it is significant that number one, people who say that that Hitler was a Christian, how could you possibly say that a Christian went after God's people and tried to kill every one of them? I mean, Hitler was no Christian or Catholic, but I'm always amazed at the number of people who will argue for things that are so obviously just nonsensical on the face of them. All right, so let me get to some of your headlines here. California 4947. California 4947 is the numbers right now. Obama turned into a stuttering mess by Donald Trump. You know what I really think that Obama is afraid of? Because I think when Obama got in, he didn't have any idea what he was doing, and he fell back on pretending that he knew everything, and people were treating him like he knew everything, which was created a very bizarre situation. It's like in one of these countries where they have a kingdom and the child, you know, is the, you know, the male heir, the king dies and his son is like 8 or 10 years old and he's named the king and people kind of begin to worship him and he doesn't even know how to tie his shoes. I think that was kind of the situation that Obama was in, and now he is on his way out and he realizes that he really didn't achieve that much, not what he wanted to. And, but behind this, you know, what Obama has always done is keep an attitude of superiority and indifference. And, you know, beyond that though, I think that deep down he understands. I'm sure that everybody is in contact with reality at some level, and I think that he understands that even though he really dislikes this American system, prefers socialism, Marxism, communism. He prefers tyranny over democracy. You know, all these things that obviously come out all the time from this guy behind the rhetoric, the decision making, and you know, going overseas to attack America, and now he's attacking Trump. But I think deep down that he has, I don't know if it's regret because he doesn't, he wouldn't appear to like the country. It seems like he doesn't like the country, and that has been his kind of like motivation to teach the country a lesson. But behind that, I think, is a certain level of regret that he wasn't the person that he thought he was. Because I think, you know, when Obama ran for office in Illinois and he lost, and he told his wife he was going to try one more time and then find something else, that he had found within himself this kind of uprising of a sense of messianicism. This is so typical of the leftist mindset. It's funny, individual human beings they think are just complete scum, but there are particular leaders that rise up that they worship like gods, and it is this messianic view of themselves. And so when he began to have success, and then he got into the Senate, and don't forget, he got into the Senate because the guy that was running for the Senate had a divorce that was a sealed divorce, and Obama was able to get in, or whoever it was, and get the records that the guy had wanted to go to a swingers club or whatever. And the guy's wife at the time was Jeri Ryan, that actress, that very voluptuous actress from Star Trek, and it caused a real scandal. Obama gets in every single, you know, and then when he was running for the state Senate, they used the political process to pick off his opponents. They invalidated him. They figured out a ways to make their candidacy illegal. So he had almost no opposition. Then he gets in the U.S. Senate, you know, 100 days later, he runs for presidency. And in Obama's mind, you know, he doesn't have a Christian mind from what I can tell. Didn't go to church, hasn't gone to church in 8 years. When he went to church in Chicago, the church was Marxist in its ideology, racial Marxism. And, you know, I just think that you don't have God, you don't have religion to kind of inform you on the nature of reality. And so what you do is you fall back on human heroism. So he became the next hero in his mind. And I think it's been a disappointment to him. And this is not meant as some sort of a, you know, harangue against the guy. This is my honestly what I think happened. Anyway, here is Obama stuttering because he's so flustered by Trump.
To campaign for Hillary, listen.
If we turn against each other based on divisions of race or religion, you know, a bunch of okie doke, just because it sounds funny, or the tweets are provocative, then we're not going to build on the progress that we started.
So the question is, what progress have we started? Now, here's another thing. I just want to get into this just a little bit. I've got a little clip here thought was remarkable, because if I can get it to play here, which by the way, somebody texted me about the new machine, 805 6180. Trying to go back to the text here. All right. I'm listening. Please respond to yes or no. May I have your old computer system? Oh, okay. All right. May I have your... I don't own the old computer system. I appreciate you asking for that. But it was owned by the company. So believe it or not, I didn't assemble my own computer system in, I mean, you know, my own studio in somebody else's building, somebody else's radio company. So, I find it absolutely hilarious that Obama stands up and criticizes. I've got a clip here from CBS News where he criticizes Trump. on his economics and warns. He warns. Can you imagine this? I'm trying to think of a historical analogy here. Probably have to go back in time quite a bit. Well, I don't know. Maybe it would be like Jimmy Carter warning somebody to not make a fatal mistake on gas policy or oil policy. But Obama has been terrible on economics, and from what I can guess, probably absolutely on purpose. And he gets up to warn. You can't make this stuff up, you know. All right, let's take a break here, and we'll be right back. 622 Kelly O'Connell. AM Massachusetts, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450. And we will be right back. It's 626, and I want to get into something that I find so hilarious. The idea that Trump is so terrible that we have to move heaven and earth to get rid of him before he shows up because he's going to be so bad, even though we don't know exactly what his policies will be, but they would have to be bad because he's Donald Trump, delivered by the guy who has been the worst president in history. But here's a little bit from Arang News Asia.
U.S. President Barack Obama has scolded Republican presidential candidates for statements and policies he claims are damaging America's relations overseas. Bruce Harrison is live in the studio with me with a look at a very divided United States. Now, Bruce, things are so intense at home that President Obama took the time out of the ASEAN summit in California to call out Republican candidates.
That's right, Kanyang. And this is probably the strongest language we've heard from the U.S. president yet about the Republican field. He more or less said he's confident Americans would reject billionaire businessman Donald Trump. He also called out some of the other candidates as well. He said American voters are sensible and they know the president has the ability to authorize a nuclear strike and send troops to war.
Wow. So he just right out said no to Donald Trump.
He said Americans are sensible enough that they know the power the president has. They're not going to vote for Donald Trump.
Right. Specifically, Bruce, which policies do you say that other countries are most concerned about?
Immigration and climate control. About climate control, he said that other countries rely on the U.S. to back sound science, and Republican resistance to combat climate change is troubling to the international community. And now the president's also battling Republicans over the appointment of U.S.
All right, so the president is into science, right? Now, do you remember when Obama got up and he claimed that we cannot drill our way out, that we were basically going to have to accept a future in which there is less and less oil and there's no oil in America or diminishing supplies because we, quote, cannot drill our way out? You remember when he said that? Now, let's just say it's a couple of years later. Has that proven to be true? Right? So, I mean, we went through the greatest expansion in the oil industry in recorded history to the point where we were producing trying to multitask here, trying to find a clip of this. We were producing so much oil through fracking that that the Saudis had to start a price war. Here's the president. And hold on just a second here. And this is from 2000. Well, all right. I don't know when this was published, but this is published in 2012. Yeah, here we go.
Now, if there's one thing I know about New Hampshire, it's that your political bull detector is pretty keen. It's pretty sharp. You know that we can't just drill our way to lower gas prices.
Fuel prices have reached a new low.
That we can't just drill our way to lower gas prices.
taking a look at your gas prices this morning, I feel like a broken record. We keep saying how gas prices continue to fall. We're seeing this nationwide, and we're seeing it here in Phoenix.
So here, you know, what Obama reminds me of is somebody that is, he's like, his job is like, his job to America is like being, he's like a hospice worker, and he's going around to each person saying, you're dying, and there's no hope. You know, doctor, please, can you help me? No, there's no hope. And, well, I just heard about this new treatment. Well, no, that's not available. Well, doctor, I got a family, I got kids. Well, that's, you know, you're going to have to prepare for the next life or, you know, total extermination or whatever. So Obama, his specialty is finding a political goal and moving towards it, totally irregardless of, or regardless of whatever the facts are. And he's been wrong time and time again, but I thought it was especially spectacular as we are drilling our way out to be told that we can't drill our way out. I just find that absolutely so entertaining. And so it is the president's specialty, not just to be wrong, but to be wrong in a way that is so memorable that it kind of breaks records. All right, so let's take a little break here, and I've got somebody coming into the studio who's running for office, and we'll just have him on in just a second here. But if you love the president, why do you love the president? And the president warning about Trump, beware of Trump because he's so terrible, and the president has already played that role out. Be right back. Kelly O'Connell, 6:32, AM Las Cruces. Well, folks, 6:36, and we've got Paul Pablo Martinez here, and he's been on the show many times. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Kelly. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for inviting me to this
absolutely.
Program.
Yeah, absolutely. Let people know, what are you running for?
I'm running for New Mexico House of Representatives, District 35.
And how's the campaign so far?
It's going excellent. I have a very good ground crew, and that's really important, is to get out to vote and get to know everyone, you know, going door to door and asking people for their vote and telling them the issues that are important to New Mexico and important to Las Cruces in particular.
Okay, so what are some of the issues that you've focused on or that people have asked you to think about?
Well, one of the issues that I'm focused on, five that I've talked to people that are part of my five platform issues, is, of course, number one is economic development and opportunities, bringing jobs back in this area, or trying to fight to get jobs back in this area. You know, myself, being a father of three and having all my kids pretty much out of college, it's important that my kids, that there's opportunities for them, that they don't have to leave out of state to find gainful employment. And I think we need to do more for economic development in terms of small business and growth in that area, and look at those opportunities for our children, not just in the private and the public sector jobs, but also looking at building the private sector jobs.
All right. And, so, and then we don't necessarily hear people with strong plans to build this economy down here, but we desperately need it, right?
Absolutely. You know, both in public and private, but mainly in the small business area, it's going to be very important because, you know, not all everyone's going to get government jobs. So we're going to have to look at expanding the small businesses because that's what's going to determine the growth and more of a tax base there in the future, providing that we do a little bit more for the small business and we have more incentives like El Paso and other cities that are their economy seems to be doing a lot better than ours.
Yeah. Now, and how do you explain that? El Paso seems to be thriving and even places like Alamogordo and Deming and we're not.
No, I think an area that we need to really explore is having a more business friendly type of environment, getting rid of a lot of the areas of really the red tape that's going on in a lot of the communities. We need to look to be more friendly towards businesses and not making all these small businesses jump through hoops to maintain their business. I think, you know, we're looking at the tax base too. We have to look at not everyone likes to pay taxes. High taxes, particularly. So we need to make sure that our high taxes are...
Nobody, well, maybe some people do, but I mean, the vast majority of people who pay high taxes do it grudgingly, don't they?
Well, one of the things that we look at is how it's going to benefit the community and really is there a need and are we going to get businesses back into coming into Las Cruces to purchase is very important. We want a strong economy. We need to provide for public safety and for some of the amenities that we as taxpayers need, but we have to look at how we go about it because the biggest complaint I'm getting from constituents and in District 35, especially from the senior citizens, that they're on fixed incomes, they're on, that the taxes, any type of tax does kind of impact people's economic growth as well as their the future of what they're going to be paying. And I think it's very important that we look at how we look at other sources of income and how we can provide better for our citizens.
Right. So there has been in this community an emphasis towards raising taxes. What would you say to the people that want to do that?
You know, I think we need to look at other, if we look at some of, at what El Paso and some of you, even the city of Albuquerque and in Rio Rancho and even what some folks would like to see happen in Santa Teresa, you'll get more businesses and more manufacturers to come into the city, to come into the state, and that will be a bigger tax base to where you don't have to raise taxes. You know, it's all about numbers. And the more.
All right. So let's talk. Let's change the vocabulary a little bit. You don't want to get taxes by raising the tax rate. You want to raise the tax income by building the economy.
That's correct. If you have a bigger economy, you don't. You may have to. You may see relief on taxes, the opposite. And that's like in the city of Albuquerque and even El Paso, you see more businesses wanting to go to those communities, and it's going to provide a better opportunity. But even in the small businesses, too, the small businesses are very important.
All right, we have Paul Martinez. And, Paul, one more time, you're running for?
House District 35.
And if people want to support your campaign, what's the contact info?
The contact info is you can contact me at 575-312-6327, or you can go look at my website at www.nmhouse35martinez.com.
Okay, and we'll be right back to continue on with the campaign of Pablo Martinez. 641, 642 on the button. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOB, 523-1450 to call in and 805-6180. We'll be right back. Thank you. Well, Paul, if you we got Pablo Martinez here. He's running for House number
35.
35. If you had some of the county leaders and city leaders who said we need to raise taxes and keep raising them until we get enough income, what would you tell them?
Well, you know, where are the budget shortfalls? That's what I would first of all ask. Before anytime anyone has to make a decision in any public position, whether you're a legislator or you're a city councilor or a county commissioner, you need to look at where your budget shortfalls are and also look at if you're in crisis, you're not going to balance your budget. That's not a case. For example, in the legislature, we have a balanced budget amendment that's required. The question is that when we come to a shortfall, we're going to have to cut programs and other things in order to balance our budget. Now, in the city, if there's budget shortfalls and so forth, they need to look at where tightening up just like anyone else in your if you're a person, you tighten up in your own budget. You have to have income to pay for your own bills. So the question is that where is the shortfall? And then we're asking the taxpayers again to take deep from their pockets and what they can afford to do. Now, that's something that they need to really think about, because if they go out and walk, like I've been walking and talking to a lot of the constituents, they really don't want their taxes being raised without good reason. And I don't know that the city, I don't know all of the issues, if there needs to be on hypothesis, but it's not really a good idea. That would be the last resort that we would want to do, is to raise taxes, especially if there's not a budget crisis or a shortfall that would be a difference between life and death.
Well, and, you know, you heard recently that Ben Rossin was involved in a disagreement with Wayne Hancock about, you know, getting some items on the agenda. And Wayne Hancock basically told him that I'm the one who decides what's on the agenda. And you don't run the staff. You don't run me. And if you don't like it, you know, basically you can stuff it. And, you know, Ben Rossin's response was this: you're not even following the rules. You know, if a county commissioner can't put something on the agenda, then get rid of the county commissioners and just have one, you know, you have the chief of the county commission. I mean, is that the goal?
No, I think as even with myself running for legislature, I think it's very important that we try. And this is what my constituents are telling me. And it's a heavy Democratic constituency, old-timers that have lived here all of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're telling me is that they're sick and tired of gridlock between both parties. They want something done.
Yeah,
they want everyone to work within part with across party lines.
Yeah.
They're elected.
Yeah,
they want people to try to get along. We do have differences, maybe a lot in philosophy or maybe in our ideology, but at this end of the day, we all have the same goals. I believe we have the same goals, the same needs, and the same convictions.
Or we should.
However, it's how we get there, and it's all about talking. It's trying to meet with people halfway, trying to treat people with respect, with dignity. Even though we may have differences of ideology, we need to come and work together and try to respect. It's all about respect.
Well,
and,
I want to call one person out. Jeff Steinborn told me, I invited him on the show. He said no, and then he changed his mind. He did not come on the show, which is fine. You know, I understand things come up, but no call, no show is very disrespectful, Jeff, and I'm disappointed in you. I'd never been a rude to you on the show, and I think that Paul, what you're saying speaks to me. There was one person who sent out a poison pen letter about me, what a terrible person I was in the party, and I believe it's been indicated many times the gay evangelist Bill McCamley did that. And this is the only show in town. You got a message for the people, come on the show and give it. But I mean, I agree, let's be polite.
Well, that's that you and I have I've always gotten along in the past, and I've been on your show before, and we have a very distinct political ideology. We agree on a lot of things when it comes to the best interest of the public, when it comes to the mental health community. You know, those are some of the other issues that we're looking at. The economy, number one, is my number one priority. And as far as the legislature, the other area that where I'm looking at is to is also the public education, fortifying public education, and also looking at the public colleges and institutions. One of the things that I would like to see And maybe there's probably disagreement from some folks, but who's holding the regents accountable? I'd like to see someday that we look at legislation to make the regents elected by the public. And maybe we will start seeing how the colleges and universities have a different attitude and change. Also, looking at the mental health crisis that we have here, we need a mental health.
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
We need to look at forming a state-run mental health hospital. Well, I think the corrections department's budget might be able to be cut and reduced, and they could help augment that.
You know, when if you go to these mental health hospitals, wouldn't put down any of the workers there, but they're not places that you would want to send anybody that you were related to. They're just not, you know, they just. I don't know. I mean, I've been in them and they're depressing, and I know any mental hospital is going to be a little depressing, but I think we should put a little more investment into our mental health system.
Yes, I think so, because that most of the folks that back, in the mid-90s when we kind of changed the outpatient type of programming, it went sour. Now we have all these folks in the Department of Corrections.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a whole nother story, but anyway, 651, we're here with Pablo Martinez, who's saying a lot of things that I agree with. He's might be in a different party than I don't claim to represent the GOP, by the way. The GOP model is broken. Trump has exposed this. I'm not here to advocate for Trump, but folks, we got to get over these very, very strange people that are running these two parties into the ground. 652 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Cali O'Connor, 523 1450. And 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back with Paul Martinez, running for District 35 House. All right, so we've got Pablo Martinez here and running for House District 35. We're coming up on this election, Paul. What do you want people to know about you when they go to the booth?
What they want to know about me is that what I've been saying from the very beginning, I'm a proven leader, and in the community, through not only activism but also through experience. I'm retired. I don't. I believe in serving the community. At first, the charity begins at home. Getting my kids through college was the first goal and objective, and then I'm able to serve the community, and now I can do it in official capacity without asking the taxpayers for any salary or anything at this particular time. I really would like to see us fight for the New Mexico values that we've had in the past, and that is keeping our children employed here in Las Cruces in the future. The future is very important, that we don't allow our children to have to go out of state to find employment. We need to look for employment opportunities.
Got a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Yes, it's Tom. How does Pablo feel about a Trump presidency?
I'm against. I'm going to vote, do everything I can to go against Trump, because I don't feel some of the stuff that he said has been very offensive to especially the Mexican-American community. I'm not a big supporter of him, I feel that he has offended a lot of people, and I'm concerned by any of our elected officials that use the tone of language and acrimony.
So you're a Martinez supporter also?
Am I for who?
The governor?
No, Martinez. I have a fundamental difference with her as well in terms of New Mexico and my philosophy. And I'm not a big supporter of the governor, nor is she a big supporter of mine.
Okay. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks. All right, folks. All right, so Paul, just a few minutes here, but so you're here for growth. You want growth in this area, and a lot of people in office here don't agree with that.
Well, I couldn't imagine why, because we all, those of us that have children and grandchildren and have been generation New Mexicans for many generations, want to see our future, not just our grandkids, but seven generations of our future to prosper and grow in this state and to have part of the state. Our forefathers envisioned this state to be a very prosperous state, and that's what we need to continue to focus on, that dream of when we came into statehood, as well as in the future for our kids. I want our kids to remain New Mexicans and to benefit and to and to uh, and to know that this is home and that we need to make it flourish. And for folks that don't have an investment in here, I can't understand why they don't see it that way.
Carpetbaggers.
Well, you know, you've got some that have families. I think the ones that have families that want their kids to and their grandchildren to grow, that's great that they can become New Mexicans just like anyone else and see this great state grow. But those that don't want it to grow, I can't understand why, because New Mexico is a beautiful state. We have a great opportunity for our children to have a great future. Instead of them becoming members of Dallas or members of the of Los Angeles or Denver or Phoenix.
And all right, so what does Mr. Martinez think about borders not being secure and our Border Patrol being asked to stand down? And we just got a few seconds left.
Well, the immigration and custom enforcement is the job of the federal government, not the job of the state. As a state legislature, my job is to legislate state statutes, not federal statutes. The government, federal government, has that by constitution, that order to do. And I think the Border Patrol is doing an excellent job at what they do.
Not when they're being asked to stand down. But anyway, Paul, it's great to have you on the show. I love what you're talking about. Pro growth. Let's build an economy. Let's not tax it to death.
Well, thank you again, Kelly, for inviting me to this show. And I like the support of the constituents of 35. That you'll have a strong voice to represent you in Santa Fe.
Thank you, Paul, and best of luck in the campaign.
Thank you.
And folks, we'll take a little break here. We'll be back after break on the hour. All right, so 7:06. My dream of having Steve Pierce and his opponent on the show to debate doesn't appear to be happening. The dream of having Mark D'Antonio debate James Dickens isn't happening. I haven't heard back from Mark in a while, but, you know, people basically contact you if they think you can help them, obviously. So we do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. Hey, this is Jim. I haven't talked with you in a while.
Yeah, how you been, man?
I'm pretty good, sir. Thank you. Hey, I'll be off there real quick. I just want to make a comment. It just seems like whenever a Democrat guy type gets pinned down or gets hammered on questions, they don't want to show up.
Yeah, but, well, okay. You know, I mean, all right, here's the thing. Jeff Steinborn, free citizen, can do, you know, what he wants. My only beef, and, you know, I've been stood up 1,000 times on this show, so you develop a thick skin, you don't take it personally, but if you're not going to show up, obviously he knew he wasn't going to show up because he didn't contact me later to let me know that there was a fender bender or whatever. Tell me ahead of time, be polite. You know, that's time that could have been given to another candidate. But, I mean, there is this idea deeply embedded in leftism that, liberals are not under the same rules of manners that other people are.
Well, you know, like you stated before, you have Walt and you have D'Antonio and you have Steinborn who have been on before and have been really hammered and don't like what's going on. Typical liberal thing is don't show up. That way you don't have to show your true stripes.
Well, I mean, I don't got a beef with Walt. He and I have been doing the show together for a long time. And you know, I'm sure he'll be back on the show.
I understand that. I understand that with you, but you know we're listening.
Yeah,
and we're the ones hammering him. I haven't personally. And I have it a couple of times. You know, I've called in and talked with Walt and had a beef with him, but nothing personal. But lately, he took a pretty good beating, and Why is it that they don't want to come back just because they're afraid to answer? I mean, that's part of the deal. Like you say, you take a hammering, you keep on ticking.
Yeah, well, I mean,
why can't they keep on ticking? Get back and take your lumps, answer the questions.
I would differentiate with Walt on one thing is that he got, I think we kind of had a falling out over how one of the shows ended. And I just need to call him up and get him back on here. I mean, I don't got a beef with Walt, but to have somebody call you up and invite you on their show and put time aside, and then you don't have the courtesy to contact that person and let them know that you've changed your mind. And you changed your mind. Great, fine, that's okay. I mean, I don't want to force anybody to come on, but to not do that says that the person's rude and that they think they're entitled and that they're better than the medium. What Jeff Steinborn is communicating to everybody who listens to the show is he's personally better. He's a better person than anybody who listens, because not only can he tell somebody he's going to show up and then not show up, it doesn't matter if he calls ahead of time or apologizes. And I hate to say it, but that is deeply embedded in leftism, and that's why they get up and shout people down and think they have the right to deny other people their free speech rights. You don't have the same status as a human being if you're not a leftist.
Well, I've had, and I won't say where or how, but I've met Jeff Steinborn and through business dealings, and he can be there pretty condescending and arrogant sort of a guy. So that just kind of confirms it. But you've extended what I would call verbal olive branches, and if they're not willing to accept what you're saying, Kelly, and that is, hey, come on here, man up, and if you're wrong, you're willing. You said on the radio just this morning, if I'm wrong, I'll call, or I'll extend an olive branch, or I'll do whatever it takes. But hey, you guys, you gotta put your hat in too, you know?
Yeah, but I would say I don't have a problem with Walt, but I do have a problem with Jeff. But Jeff has always been personally polite to me. He's I was disappointed when he didn't show up, because he's a smart guy. He's got a great sense of humor. He's got a good personality. He's a good guest to have on a radio show, you know?
Well, yeah. And, I was really interested to hear a previous guest on here talk about what he had. But, we don't like Trump because of what he said about Hispanics. He needs to kind of look at the overall picture. Is what he's saying, is it because he doesn't like Hispanics? Or is it because it's possibly true what he's saying in many areas? I'm going to get off here real quick, but I would think the people here have Hispanic origin, if you look at it this way, that came in legally, that did it the right way, probably are as objective of much to having the illegals coming in as anybody else.
Right. And I mean, the fact of the matter is, I'm sure there's a majority of Hispanics who came here legally, who, if you got them off the record and they weren't quoted to anybody else, would say, I'm disappointed in people who come illegally and act like they're citizens when they get here, and I disagree with it, and I wish they wouldn't do it, because it's ruining it for the rest of us.
Well, I work with a lot of Hispanics in what I do, even though I'm retired, and I'll tell you, one of the reasons that my wife and I moved here 15 years ago is because of the extreme courtesy and the really great, great relations that we've had with Hispanic. I just think they're phenomenal people here. And I'm sure that there are many of those people that are not lucky in what's going on with the border issues too.
Well, I mean, they're not. I mean, most people, look, the Hispanic people who got here, Mexicans who came here legally, are law-abiding citizens.
Right.
Of course, they're opposed to illegals who come here and defy the law. And then because of the current political climate, they're reaping all these benefits from the government that are going to go away, but they don't want to say anything because it's a political, it's become in this country, it has become, you're a bad person if you stand on the wrong side of politics. You're not a free thinker. You're not somebody who has the spine to stand up for what you believe and go against the majority or the vocal minority. You're a bad person. And you need to be shut up. And that's what's wrong with political correctness. That is why the main reason by far Donald Trump is thriving, because he's
absolutely
fearless to stand up to opposition. And people inside, even those who originally opposed him are thrilled to see that there's one person left in America who's not afraid to give his opinion.
That is absolutely correct. You know, I know where Hillary stands. I know what she's done. We see evidence of what she's done. And there are people saying, then why would you vote for Donald Trump if you don't know? Hey, give the guy a chance.
But, I mean, this idea that he's the worst person in history and has to be shot down is just insane. What? I mean, how is it possible? It's not even possible that he would be worse than Obama. So for Obama to get up and lecture other people that they're unnerved in other countries because of Trump, are they unnerved that you want to lead from behind, Mr. President, that you just threw the Middle East to the wolves? And then my biggest beef with Obama is the way he presents himself as a conquering messiah. Therefore, everything he does is some sort of a secret explanation and is the product of genius, of the genius of the universe. He never owes anybody an apology or an explanation. And he's, you know, I mean, he is really a failed leader.
Yeah, you know, that speech he gave last night on TV, I hope that stuttering wasn't done on the teleprompter, because it looks like he didn't have one.
Well, it sounded like he was rapping, you know, like he was spinning a disc or something, doing a little scratching. But, you know, I mean, I think Obama, I mean, say what you want about Bill Clinton. He's a riveting speaker. And you see that he's got 20 ideas in his mind and they're all fighting to get out. And he's got a speech and maybe he goes in the direction of the speech and maybe he doesn't. Do I disagree with him on a policy? A lot of policies I do. But he is a riveting, charismatic person to listen to. And he's fun to listen to because he's got a very lively mind. Obama has a very static mind. His mind is like a fetid pond. It's like a pond that never gets any fresh water in it, and it gets smaller every day, and it shrinks, and it becomes more diseased, and it begins to stink, and there's dead things in it. That's what his mind is like.
Well, you know, Hillary talks about what's going on with Trump, but, you know, when Bill Clinton was president, you remember, and I'm sure a lot of people remember, when it come down to brass tacks, he was willing to move his mind to where it needed to get things done.
You know why?
And
you know why? Because he wanted to be seen as a success in later days.
Absolutely.
And Obama gets up. He's so partisan. Obama thinks, all right, and this is leftism. This is Marxism. Marxism is about the idea that politics trumps everything else. Pardon the pun, but politics is the most important thing in history. And when you tap down, and I was just reading this in Carl Schmitt's books, when you tap down into a political a system that's just about that, the Marxism is like this, leftism, you tap down at the center is politics, and that's all there is. Well, what is politics? It's just power. It's just the power to assert and force your will onto other people.
Absolutely. Well, Kai, I'll let you go, but I appreciate you giving me the airtime. Have a good day.
Thanks. Have a great day. All right, folks. Well, we need to take a break here, but I did have a clip once upon a time. And you want some weather first? Okay. Since you asked politely, here we go. A little bit of weather. Even the new computer sticks? Well, no, don't say that. Here we go. All right. No wonder I've got the sound turned off. Sometimes I turn off the sound so we don't have to complain at once, but here we go.
Happening right now in San Antonio, heavy rain is coming down up to 2 inches per hour in some cases. That's what we're looking at along I-35. It has been a brutal morning commute and will continue to do so. Lubbock took it on the chin yesterday with all the heavy rain. Today, the concentration of the rain is going to be through the central and the eastern part of the state. So far, 31 counties have been declared a disaster by the governor. 6 people have died from these floods and 4 are missing. We do have more storms rotating in, not only today, but tomorrow. So it will be another bout of heavy rain for at least the next 48 hours before this system diminishes this weekend. Here's a look at additional rainfall. Now, remember, even an inch of rain, that could cause, once again, some major flooding concerns.
And you've got 2 to 3 to 5 inches falling across Texas. Remember this, since I've been here, I think the most rain I remember in a day is an inch. Now, I'm sure there's been more, but could you imagine going through? I mean, we would be literally washed away. We don't have any plants around here to keep the soil on the ground. Here's another little thing, a potential Gulf tropical system could hit Florida.
Could Florida be in the crosshairs of something tropical by next week? Well, at least one model is making it look that way. The Euro model is hanging on to this system forming out of the Western Caribbean by early next week, and it's bringing it north right up into the western coast of Florida. Pretty much it would affect all of Florida. Now, we're keeping it an X because we still don't know. Could this be a tropical storm, a hurricane? Hurricane probably not likely, but maybe a tropical storm. What we do know for sure now is regardless of its tropical status, heavy rain is going to be in the forecast for Florida by next week. So we could be looking at as much as 3 to 5 inches on the western part of the state.
All right. And I'm just looking to see if there's any more Texas news on this flood. And I've got some Fox News here, but let me just see if there's one last clip I can stick in here. Oh, I've got one from CNN. Well, I got one from Fox too. Well, let's see which one comes up the first. But all right, but well, I just want to make sure that we get enough coverage of Texas. But it's really been, I mean, if you think about it, where does all of this rain come into Texas that doesn't hit us? Isn't that weird? I mean, sometimes we get hit by it, but they get hit by it, and it's always seems to be somewhere between 1 and 5 inches. And, you know, they got 19 inches outside of Houston last Friday. I mean, it's just, I'm astounded. All right, I got a Glenn Beck Death Watch coming up. I hate to say that, but very talented guy, but he's really stepped in it, and it's bizarre, some of the stuff that he's done. But anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. But here is... All right, I think this is Brazos. This is from Richmond, Texas, Brazos River. Check it out.
Creating catastrophic flooding in Texas. This story continues yet again today. These are stunning pictures shot from a drone showing the devastation.
Yeah, that's right. It froze up, kids. Brazos River cresting at 54 feet. I'll just read it to you. Holy cow. All right, let's move on to CNN here. Cross your fingers. You know, there's these clips that if you hesitate for 1 second, they will go to an ad over again. Here's CNN.
I'm meteorologist Allison Chinchar. This is CNN Weather Watch. The big story across the portions of the United States is all of the intense flooding that they've had in Texas. And unfortunately, even more rain is on the way. We've got that pattern setting up that's going to bring in all of that moist, warm air from the Gulf, adding to a very wet Texas. And again, we're not just talking a little bit of extra rain for these areas. Some of them have already set, including Houston, their wettest April on record, May well above average as well. And here again is a look at the forecast. You notice cities like Houston, Austin, also into Dallas, looking at additional 50 to 100 millimeters of rain. Some spots picking up an additional 150 millimeters of rain over the coming days. And again, here you can kind of see on the forecast radar all of that extra moisture for the entire Southeast in general. But these other states wouldn't mind having the moisture. Texas is an entire different story.
All right, so here is a little break, and this is Stevie Ray Vaughan. Little Wing, which is a famous song played by Jimi Hendrix. We'll be right back. 722 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450, and I've got an interesting set, some facts on Glenn Beck. We'll be right back. Pardon me, 805-6180 and 523-1450. We'll be back. All right, so 727 flying those friendly skies, and I didn't I found out some stuff about Glenn Beck and actually the Rush Limbaugh too over the weekend that I'd never heard before. I'll play that. I'll do the Beck Watch / Death Watch in just a minute. But he's, I look at Beck, I listen to him, and there might be a lot of fans of his listening right now, but I honestly think that part of him wants to leave what he's been doing. Maybe the stress has gotten to him. Maybe all of the disappointments. But it's like he's on a suicide mission. It really does. I don't understand. I mean, he spent so much time building up his model, and he had this idea. And but anyway, we'll get into that in just a minute. Here is on the third party attempt to take out Trump, and this is from Morning Joe.
Well, weekly standard editor Bill Kristol.
Hello.
I never saw this coming.
Yeah.
Literally. I never saw this coming.
I think Bill needs to take a vacation. No, like a long one.
Okay.
And not that there's anything wrong with it. Okay. He handed over the weekend to the possibility of a third party candidate to rival Donald Trump. Now, remember, it was the possibility of a third party candidate to rival Donald Trump.
Right, right.
Okay, so that's got to be someone
big
and aggressive,
yeah,
and somehow has got that talent that can punch back and yet lead the country in the right direction.
Immediate
well known
political ally. You
got
to have immediate recognition.
Well, now we know who this person might be.
Mark Alford and John Heilman of Bloomberg Politics broke the news yesterday that I love the guy. He's a great guy. He's been on our show. His name's conservative. He's conservative writer David French, and he's exploring the presidential run. Who, might you ask, is David French? Well, he's an attorney. He's a staff writer for the National Review, a great writer, and again, a great guy. Been a great guest on this show. Also an Iraq War veteran who was awarded a Bronze Star, a man of character. In early May, he wrote a piece about the Libertarian Party's Gary Johnson, saying the short case for him is pretty compelling. Then, just last week, French wrote an article that was called Mitt Romney, Run for President. You're the only man who can save us from future calamity.
I know for a fact an awful lot of Republicans are throwing in for Donald Trump right now because they feel like they have no other option. That's the key of the Mitt Romney choice. You give all of these people another option. You hear all the time, a vote, if you're not voting for Donald Trump, you're voting for Hillary Clinton.
Right.
False. What if you're not voting for Donald Trump? You're voting for someone you actually believe in, you actually respect, and will actually do the right thing for this country.
Now, Mitt Romney's insisted he's not going to run as an independent, but last night he tweeted this. I know David French to be an honorable, intelligent, patriotic person. I look forward to following what he has to say.
Mitt Romney is an absolute unmitigated disaster. He was not conservative enough to stir up the base. He invented Obamacare. He failed to campaign hard in the last part of the election. You recall that he took out Obama in the debate, in the first debate, and then he just didn't seem to even try that hard afterwards. Romney is why we're in the position that we're in, and he's going to come and save us? I think that's terrible. He's terrible. Go away, Mitt. Go play with your grandkids. All right, here's something from Mika on Bill Kristol.
Well,
he wasn't happy. Donald Trump was not happy.
Donald
right?
Trump quickly called out Bill Kristol.
Or did he?
Kristol's the one he's the last one. Don't forget, he said Trump will never run. The guy's not a smart person. I actually blame you. Why do you put this guy on television? I see him on the different shows. He's got no credibility. It sounds like he's going to put somebody up. Even I thought it. I thought, oh, they're going to find some indie. These people are losers. He's trying to make you, he's trying to drive you guys a little bit nuts. If they do an indie, assuming it's decent, which I don't think anybody with a reputation would do it because they'd look like fools. But what you're going to do is you lose the election for the Republicans, and therefore you lose the Supreme Court. Bill Kristol's a loser. His magazine is failing, as you know. It's going to be down. I don't think it even survives.
So what do you think, Mika?
It sounds like this gentleman is really impressive.
Great guy.
But I think Bill Kristol has got to stop sort of I'm trying to think of an uncrass way of saying this.
Well, how about digging?
He's been wrong since Trump got in the hole. You know, he's been wrong about Trump, and you know, if you're gonna get behind someone who can really rival Trump, you need to get behind someone who can really rival Trump. And
right now, I mean, I don't mean to be. Is it Mitt Romney, Mika? Who is it? Because Romney in the poll last week, I was surprised.
It's got to be somebody who can handle it. And, you know, obviously you've seen great men of great character who cannot handle this person.
It's got to be someone who the Koch brothers would seriously consider funding.
That too.
All right, so, I mean, I'm not even a Trump backer, although people have claimed that I am. I got excited when he started going after political correctness, but remember when Iraq was taken over and they had these what they called the dead enders, the people that wouldn't come over to the new regime and they were fighting for the old one. That's what these people are. They see themselves as the greatest minds in history. And in fact, they're just a bunch of people that refuse to move on with the future and have failed. And the reason that they're getting kicked out is they failed. They're failures, and that's it. And their ideas are failed, and they have lukewarm conservatism, and they look down at everybody else that doesn't have it. And instead of learning the lessons of history, one of which is people are tired of the crap, they're tired of the PC BS, and they want someone who will stand up against it. They want, in other words, a leader. They can't even understand this anyway. We'll take a break here and be right back. We got some local news for you. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523 1450 and 805-6180. Call up if you think I'm mistaken. All right, you realize that, and we had talked about this, that Glenn Beck had been suspended for, he didn't threaten Donald Trump, but what he did was he allowed him to be threatened on his show, basically, without saying anything. And he actually just kind of, this is why I'm not saying that there needs to be a mental health check on Glenn Beck or, but I just, to be inside of Glenn Beck's mind, to see how high he was when he was with the Fox News and he made his $100 million and then he quit over ideological differences. And after that to now be in a place where his show was temporarily suspended on Sirius, and he's gone through a period of talking for God. And I don't know. I mean, it just seems like he's out of control, and I'm just wondering if he's just maybe burned out and wants to quit for a while. But anyway, here's a little bit on him getting suspended.
Conservative radio talk show host Glenn Beck has been suspended by his employer, SiriusXM. The company made the move after Beck agreed with a caller into his program who suggested that someone should assassinate Donald Trump if Trump wins the presidency. The caller was author Brad Thor. Here's what he said.
This could bring down incredible heat on me because I'm about to suggest something very bad. It is a hypothetical I am going to ask as a thriller writer. With the feckless, spineless Congress we have, who will stand in the way of Donald Trump overstepping his constitutional authority as president? If Congress won't remove him from office, what patriot will step up and do that? If he oversteps his mandate as president, his constitutional granted authority, I should say, as president, if he oversteps that, how do we get him out of office? And I don't think there is a legal means available. I think it will be a terrible position the American people will be in to get Trump out of office, because you won't be able to do it through Congress.
Well, I would agree with you on that.
SiriusXM says that Beck's program has been suspended for the week. Beck has not yet publicly commented on the issue.
All right. So here's the thing. What do I draw out of this? I draw out of this that Beck has been under a lot of pressure, that he's at his wit's end in terms of frustration, and that he wanted to move heaven and earth to get rid of Trump. Now he upset some people, but along the way, which is natural. But what he did is he walked away from his, you know, everybody has this thing that they do. Everybody has this, you know, everybody has a way to put, well, maybe it's not true in this county, but everybody, in generally speaking, has a way to put a little, say, you know, bacon and beans and tortillas on the table, or, you know, pay their rent or whatever. And, you know, Glenn Beck walked away from his show to help out with Ted Cruz, which is noble, I guess. But it seems like when he walked away, maybe the freedom of not having to do a daily show and run this empire made him realize how much he had given up. I don't know, but it seems to me like there is something inside of Glenn Beck that has come loose that may not be able to be fixed until maybe he gets some R&R or what are we, I don't know. I'm not a psychologist, but it seems to me like, And I find it sad, because I think that there were a lot of things that Glenn Beck talked about that only he talked about that I found riveting. Sometimes when he would talk about God, sometimes when he'd talk about patriotism, Marxism, Agenda 21, Obama as a communist plant, whatever it was, I enjoyed hearing it. It was entertaining. And now here's what I don't like, and this is what brings a little credence to Alex Jones's rant against him. And Alex Jones says he's of the devil. And that's all there is to it. He's a fake conservative who's trying to destroy the movement. I certainly wouldn't go that far. But can you disagree that Glenn Beck has harmed the Tea Party or the far right movement or whatever group you'd associate him with, when he seems unhinged, when he talks one day about what God wants and he's down on his knees and God's telling him to do stuff and he doesn't understand, but he does it anyway. And he's got a national message. And then a few days later, he's talking about stabbing somebody. And then a month later, two months later, he's agreeing with someone who says we need to assassinate Trump. I mean, he just seems like he's coming unglued. Does he not? If I'm wrong, 523-1450 or 805-6180. But here's a little clip from a guy who's got a show called Secular Talk. And the reason I'm playing this is I had no idea that both Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh were receiving money from right-wing think tanks. I had no idea. And it's also been stated, and this is some of the stuff that came out when I started to do research based on what Trump was saying about his empire coming apart. I had no idea his empire was coming apart. I believe that the statement is out there, and I looked for evidence. I couldn't find it, but there is somebody has said, and I actually haven't spent a lot of time researching this, so I will in the coming days, that the LDS Church has invested in his program too. I've got to confirm that. But anyway, check this out. Glenn Beck show suspended from Sirius XM radio.
Been suspended from Sirius XM radio over a recent incident. Now, it's not suspended on, you know, other forums, as far as I understand. And remember, he does have his own The Blaze TV network. So these things are separate. They do have their own financial troubles on their own, by the way. But he has been kicked off of XM radio, or at least suspended for a certain period of time here. And Mediaite reports and explains why. Quote, in a statement released Tuesday, Sirius XM announced they are suspending the Glenn Beck program from its lineup after a guest made comments that many interpreted to be supportive of the assassination of Donald Trump. Conservative author Brad Thor made comments last Wednesday saying that Trump opponents may be forced to resort to extra legal means. Here's what the guy said. Quote, this is serious, and this could bring down incredible heat on me because I'm about to suggest something very bad. It is a hypothetical I'm going to ask as a thriller writer. If Congress won't remove him from office, what patriot will step up and do that if he oversteps his mandate as president? Sirius XM evidently agreed with Thor's critics, interpreting comments as an endorsement of assassination. Sirius XM also hinted that the Glenn Beck program could see the chopping block over the comments, saying they were evaluating its place in our lineup going forward. Okay, so now I've gone over this a million times. There was a really detailed Politico story that spoke about his financial troubles. For those of you who don't know, he takes money from various right-wing think tanks, and he's basically a welfare queen to those right-wing think tanks. So they prop him up by giving him money, and then it was supposed to be the case that he would also take in a lot of money through advertising revenue. Problem is, nobody wants to advertise with him. So if you watch his network, all you'll see in the...
So anyway, this guy goes on kind of a obscene rant at this point, but the upshot is that, all right, so here, what's the missing thing here? All right, so Mother Jones, let me see if I've got this open yet. Here it is. Mother Jones, powerful Tea Party group's internal docs leak. Read them here. All right, so this is what happened, which I find fascinating. Dick Armey had he dropped out of the Congress and started working for Freedom Works, and he tried to take it over. Now, I have a lot of respect for Dick Armey, but he had made a power play, and he failed. And so they bought him out. But, all right, so he admitted at one point that Freedom Works, which is, it's not really a PAC, but it's a it's an advocacy, it's a think tank. Freedom Works, not Freedom Works, but Dick Armey was interviewed, and he admitted that the Freedom Works gave $1 million a year to Beck, and some undisclosed amount of contract to Rush Limbaugh, and it was for saying positive things about Freedom Works and the Tea Party and stuff, I want to gather. Now, they asked Dick Armey why he admitted this in this interview with Media Matters, which is a leftist group, and he said he didn't, when he was on the phone, he thought he was being interviewed by a right. And so anyway, I don't, but anyway, I've never heard that before. I was just absolutely flabbergasted. So anyway, I think it's possible. You know, there's going to be a change in the Glenn Beck network. I don't know exactly what it'll be, but I suspect that what is going to happen at some point is, and it's already happening, is scaled back to one studio in Texas where he's going to do a radio show. And maybe... I don't know. I think he goes back to bare bones because that is the business model that works. And what he tried to do from the way he tried to do it with the mistakes he made was a failure. So we'll come back and I've got some, you know, Bill Clinton is in town. So we'll talk about that. AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE Kelly O'Connell 523 1450 and 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back. Got some weather for you. All right, just got a text, and I'm glad I got it because somebody mentioned that Bill Clinton's in town, and it's true. There is a speech by the president at Picacho Middle School, and it doors open at 1:30. Rallies scheduled to start at 2:30, and they said it's going to be mostly standing room open. And a little side note, if you're an attractive woman, you may immediately move to the front. Just a little encouragement there. So here is Clinton, New Mexico visit. Check this out from KRQE.
Clinton has wrapped up his visit with a speech in Albuquerque on behalf of his wife, Hillary. While he avoided last night's protests, he did go after Trump.
We can't all rise together if we are being consciously divided.
He spent most of his 42 minutes at the Alamosa Community Center. He talked about his wife's plans, which include turning Native American reservations and pueblos into clean energy factories, a plan he says will revitalize the economy. Clinton says she also wants students to get a free college education.
She favors free community college tuition, free tuition for everybody, not just at public colleges, but at private colleges that educate a lot of working class people from all ethnic and other backgrounds for people who need it.
After his speech, Clinton surprised a lot of people when he stopped at the popular Santa Fe restaurant, C.S. Sophia's. He shook hands with people and even took pictures with patrons.
How exciting. Bill Clinton back in New Mexico, KOAT, from today.
We are just days away from our primary election, and today Bill Clinton will be at a Las Cruces school campaigning for his wife, Hillary.
The Clinton campaign says he will focus on Hillary Clinton's plan to raise wages, as well as a plan to help New Mexico families. Our political analyst, Brian Sandoroff, says Clinton's stop in the southern part of the state is an opportunity to reach a whole different group of voters, as well as a different media market. Sandoroff says if Hillary wins, she most likely will not pick Bernie Sanders as her running mate.
She's going to first have to work really hard to get Bernie Sanders on board and have him become a big ally and advocate for Hillary Clinton. He's the best messenger for the progressives, and he should be able to help her very much solidify the progressive vote.
Bill Clinton's event starts at 2:30 this afternoon at Picacho Middle School. Doors should open around 1:30. Back to you.
And once again, attractive young women will be ushered immediately to the front. But anyway, so 7:56, we're almost done here. So get over the, if you want to see history in the making, get over to that Picacho Middle School and get into there. I mean, it would be interesting. I've never heard the guy speak, you know. And he's supposed to be. People have said time and time again, if you hear Bill, if you ever meet Bill Clinton, you will be absolutely mesmerized by his charisma. He just stares at you and makes you feel like you're the only person in the world, and is just so charismatic and I don't know about that. But he's got some sort of a gold dust, doesn't he? Some magic power. But, all right, so he's going to be there at 1:30 at Picacho Middle School, and then I'm sure it'll be a standing room only and just, you know, packed to the gills. But, all right, we've got our election coming up on Tuesday, so I'm going to get as many of these candidates as I can on the show, as many will actually show up. Shame on you, Jeff Steinborn. Well, I'm not totally shocked. I mean, he did say no to begin with and then ended up saying yes. And his buddy, Shah of Sodom, Bill McCamley, undoubtedly influenced him. Maybe over drinks, who knows. But we will be back in 22 hours. It's been a real pleasure hanging out with you. We want to thank Pablo Martinez for stopping by today. And I'll try to get Miss Souls back on. Got to have Souls. And maybe even, who knows, maybe we'll even get Steve Pierce on somehow. Have a great day. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Oh, we have one more call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O. All right, I must have. Didn't see that one coming in, but we'll see you back in 22 hours. Ciao.